Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
There's nothing like snook hook sets at dawn or catching a tarpon in the moonlight. Find your next fishing trip made easy on fishingbooker.com and experience the magic of the Sunshine State or any other destination on your fishing bucket list. Book a blue water adventure in search of sailfish or go snapper fishing with the kids. With over 6,000 captains and trips to choose from, planning your next one just got a whole lot easier. Download the Fishing Booker app on the Google Play or App Store or visit them online at fishingbooker.com to book your trip today.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured. Not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
I'm Casey.
And I'm Tyler.
And you're listening to
The Element Podcast. What is happening, Alma Woods people? We are here in a cabin, hanging out in New Mexico, trying to kill a turkey. And we might have actually got one already, KC.
Tyler, don't let the turkey out of the bag here.
Dadgummit. Might have, y'all.
Might have.
We're out hunting a bunch of public ground and having a good time hanging out. It's a big crew of dudes. We've had some today has been quite the day. Michael has had a good 24-hour period here. And there's been a lot of things that have gone on that are scary and that are also fun. We've had some good food. We ate part of that turkey.
We did.
We actually did a Steve Rinella recipe.
Well, with a good
spin-off.
Element.
Yeah. It has a spin-off. It's a spin-off. It's not. It's the southern version of
and
Steve's
recipe.
I mean,
one could say it's Steve, you know, predating upon our heritage.
That's exactly right.
You know, with the southern
predator
flavors. That's
Dadgum
right.
Dadgum predator. You calling him a good hunter, huh?
Good reader, at least.
I've been wearing the First Light Trace stuff all week, and I like it more every day.
That's right.
I think we talked about it last week.
We say this stuff even off air, guys, so, you know, if you're worried about this being an ad for First Light or whatever it is, but
that's right.
At the same time, like, we do like it.
I absolutely do.
It is cold in the morning, so you want to have more than, than the trace.
It's, you know, this is desert country, you know, so you're going to be cold in the mornings and hot in the evenings. But I've been full trace camo stuff, and it's been it worked good enough to have birds in real close.
The leg zippers are actually really nice.
They are, man.
Vent that stuff out, man.
That's right, man. That's right. Vent it out. Vet it out.
When in doubt, vent it out.
Vet it out, vent it out. Listen, y'all, the Buck Truck episode number 2 is out, okay? If you haven't seen it, you can go to the Meteor Channel. All this Buck Truck stuff we're going to talk about in the next several weeks, that's going out on Meteor Channel. Unfortunately, we can't put it out on the Element Channel. I know you guys are, you know, it's two clicks of the mouse instead of one. I know it's a big deal, but make sure you go over there, check it out. We're going to talk about the story of South Dakota, which is episode 2 of the Buck Truck. And we're going to go into the same kind of format as we did with Nebraska, where we talk about some of the struggles we had, how we overcame these things, the past years we might have had in these areas, and how that all plays into the certain situation that we got ourselves into. So with that, we'll just go ahead and get into this. You know, one of the hardest things for us in South Dakota in the past, KC, was finding like shooter bucks, right?
Yeah. Well,
we couldn't. Like finding deer is not a hard problem. Finding
respectable
bucks,
I guess I might say.
Well,
because
who's respecting them?
I like to kind of shoot small deer sometimes, and
love
some people.
Them.
Don't, I guess that's a shooter for me, but some people don't call that a shooter.
We've been talking about how fun it'd be to shoot mule deer does out here.
Oh
dude.
Man, you know. You remember how Chris Brackett, you shoot them balloons and it was cool? You shoot them through a piece of PVC pop?
Yeah.
That's what you're doing here, shooting balloons, but they're mule deer does.
Come on, Brennan.
They're big. Big old does, right? I mean,
that's right,
and
man.
It's cool to shoot stuff, man. It's fun.
Yeah, dude.
But yeah, the point you're making is finding shooter bucks, finding nice mature deer. And honestly, South Dakota is a state that has a lot of deer. And some areas have a lot of whitetails, and some areas don't, and some areas are in between. And if you venture too far into part of it, you might end up in a spot where, you know, you're not really finding the deer that you're looking for.
Yeah.
Too much.
Yeah, I know, you know, especially the first year we went, 2020, we struggled with a couple things. We did see shooter bucks first night, or, mm-hmm. or at least one shooter buck first night. From, you know, 14 miles away or whatever, but we did see one, and it was a whitetail. But you know, we did struggle to find whitetails the first year at times, and you know, it's a deer tag, which is it's crazy that we're supposed to be managing with biological, you know, reasons in mind, right? But
whoa.
We just have a deer tag. Is this saying something, Casey? Are they saying that whitetails and mule deer are the same thing?
Be careful, Tyler, because what you're starting to say is that you don't agree with the science. You're going to be called a science non-believer. That's not the case.
A non-Scientologist.
You just want to practice good science.
Yeah.
Right?
That's
not
right.
Not faulty science.
That's right.
That's right. So
what's the good science?
Well, good
here?
Science would be to manage according to a species' needs in both habitat. Mm-hmm. And food and hunting pressure and all this. So are we going to say that this is getting back on this? Right?
Let's go.
Are mule deer and whitetail the same species?
I know. That's where I'm getting to.
So if not, then we need to manage them differently.
That's right.
And that would mean you would need to get a tag for either or for one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
So
if you put a bunch of largemouth into a river with a bunch of smallmouth,
mm-hmm.
and all the largemouth started eating all the smallmouth, and your largemouth start thriving, should you just continue to keep the bass regulations that you can just keep any black bass when those smallmouth were there endemically? And, I mean, you know, that there's just all these different, you know, you run into these different issues with, should we say, okay, well, you can keep 10 bass, black bass, and then next thing you know, we've got a very, very hard suffering smallmouth bass population. If you see that happening, maybe you should say, well, nobody can keep smallmouth bass.
Ooh.
You know what I mean? Or whatever.
We could limit the methods for the smallmouth bass.
You could.
You know, it's really easy to take a 30-06 and shoot a smallmouth bass from 200 yards. Or mm-hmm. wait, what am I talking about here?
I know.
You know, say, if you will, you have to use, you know, artificial only on 10-pound test or lower,
mm-hmm.
you know, something like that. You know, it would limit how many smallmouth bass you could.
There are ways to do it, but either way.
Did you know we were going to rage on this podcast?
You
I didn't know we were going
to
rage.
You would want to manage with smallmouth bass in mind, not just
that's
bass
right.
in general,
that's
right?
That's right, man. So, yes, exactly. So,
anyway, there's some good food for thought there. Some people will understand what we're saying. Some people will be lost, and I'm sorry if you are. So, let's get back on track here. We decided that year that we wanted to – we've always loved whitetails, and mm-hmm. so we've always wanted to hunt whitetails wherever we go. If a mule deer steps out there and we got a tag for it, we're probably shooting it if it's
absolutely.
Pretty.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? But, like, I'm trying to hunt whitetails. And so we did move the next year, but, you know, that year we'll get back to a little bit more and tell some stories from that year. But that year we saw the same things happening that we've had to kind of overcome over the last – couple of years. We've been there 3 years now, back to back to back years. And one thing that we have seen mainly the last 2 years that has been tough is sickness. And I don't know what it is, but it is like maybe it's traveling 16, 18, 15 hours, whatever it is, to get there in a car in one day and eating junky food. And maybe that's been a part of it. Mm-hmm. But I know in 21, COVID was really a thing, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't even know if I can say that on this podcast, but apparently it's over now. I don't know if you knew that.
Legitimately, according to the super duper legit government we have, it's over.
My friend also said that NASA confirms the sun as being hot too. So there's some pretty good stuff coming out right now.
It's funny to bring up NASA because I don't believe what they say either. But that's a different deal.
Okay.
I'll be seeing them wires and them videos.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. So anyways, you got COVID pretty much right before we left. And we're dealing with it on the way up. And then I pretty much got it from you most likely while we were there.
That's my second time getting it.
Yeah, me too. We always,
I just had it for my fourth
we
time.
We always give it back and forth. And I haven't got it this go around, so hopefully I'm all right. Yeah. But, that puts a damper. And then, I don't feel like there's some other sickness stuff that's been dealt with, too, that's not just...
You about near died on that 2021 trip.
There was one time I woke up in the middle of the night and was, like, asphyxiated, or whatever the word would be. Like, I could not breathe through my mouth or my nose and had to, like, you know... Pretty
poke
much,
a hole.
Yeah, just a knife, tracheotomy in there.
Yeah, Eric was real freaked out.
I bet. Sleeping there was weird altogether. But yeah. The sickness thing has always been a problem, and I think that we've tried to kind of address that a little bit, just by trying to be a little healthier.
Yeah, and also, if you get sick while you're camping, it's a little bit harder than if you got like. Mm-hmm. A restroom and
night air
stuff. You know? Yeah, I mean it is nice. So what we thought this year is that we would kind of fix that sleeping situation, which is something that we've talked about in the Nebraska Buck Truck podcast as well. And the sickness situation. If we got sick, then we would be in a decent place.
Oh, Greg got a migraine while we were there. That's pretty bad. The first night, I kind of remember that.
It's almost like that's a thing.
Yeah, he gets them. yeah, for sure. And that's another thing, which is kind of tough to address. But having a place with a coffee maker helps with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, know? For sure. And speaking of food and drink, that's another thing that we've had to kind of overcome. Because the first year you and I went, I guess we scoped it out for like 8 people, mm-hmm. apparently. Because the next year we went back. It was just you and me and a camera guy the first year. Mm-hmm. And camera guy filmed me shoot a buck and you shoot a buck on the same. Well, he didn't film you shoot a buck, but he filmed me shoot a buck and you
sort
shot
of.
A buck on the same.
Y'all were at distance and could see what was going on.
Yeah,
with me.
But I filmed it.
Oh, good.
But it was a really, an awesome night and we had a great time. All of us did. Yeah. We actually slept really well on that trip. I slept as good as I have in a long time. We were in a, very remote place and it was super. Just there's no wind, which was weird, and it was just beautiful and quiet, man. And I slept super good. Best I've ever slept in a tent by far. But, feeding – the next year we came back, did we have six or seven dudes? And then this year do we have seven this year, maybe?
We lost
the core five.
We lost to Michael, to Tony.
That's right.
And gained a Hunter and a Chris. Yeah. So that would be seven.
Yep. So we had a bunch of dudes in camp. And when you talk about feeding them, one thing that's nice when you hunt a lot is you have a lot of ground meat and eating burritos. You talked about this, but eating burritos is not a bad thing, man.
No, man. I mean, that tortilla is the worst thing on that deal. Otherwise, you're just packing that thing full of stuff that's good for you.
Yeah.
And, I think the first year that we went to South Dakota, we were just dead broke. And so we were probably eating a lot of sandwiches and stuff, and that was fine, sandwiches and chips. Then this past year, we tried to cook a little bit, but we camped, or I guess 21. We camped a lot and cooked. I remember you and Hunter making a pretty good breakfast for us at one point in time. We found some bacon that was unsalted. That was kind of weird.
Yeah. it was very weird.
But, otherwise.
The salt.
Yeah, and on that trip, too, when I was recovering from COVID, man, I got to give my boy Hunter a shout-out on that deal. He also is slow-moving in the mornings, but it's not because of the COVID. It's just because of the short legs, I think. And he just doesn't – he likes to get a slow roll. Mm-hmm. So him and I were a pretty good pairing on that trip.
And you know what y'all invented by doing that?
Honey coffee.
The buck truck.
The buck truck. That is the buck truck. That's right. That's right. And here we are.
Here we are.
Here we are, buck trucking. But Hunter brought me some honey coffee one morning, and it made me feel a lot better.
Thanks, so, Hunter.
Yeah, I know.
Nice and guy. Then,
the buck truck loaded up some bucks.
So y'all kind of got to moving real slow in the mornings, and instead of hunting, because y'all are, you're hanging with a guy who likes to watch them, and you're also sick, and y'all are moving slow in the morning. Y'all are driving around during some pretty prime time finding bucks, and y'all are like started calling it the buck truck, right?
That's right.
And it carried through that
season.
Well,
there was a scouting day where our truck went one way and your truck went a different way, and we won the day,
yeah,
for sure. Yep. So, and then that's how it was officially started with the buck. Eric, were you? Eric's not on the podcast. Sorry. Were you with us when we saw that big mule deer buck? And we're like, somebody was with us. Maybe Chris is in the back seat. And
Chris was with us.
Somebody was in the truck with us.
It would have been old Chadwick Rice.
Chadwick Rice was there. That's right. That's right. He came from a different direction, so the counting was different there. But yes, we probably had seven that year too. Then with Chad camp. And so we that mule deer is the one that kind of got the buck. It's funny enough because the buck truck's such a whitetail thing.
That's right.
But it's a mule deer that started it.
Well, buck truck has still seen a lot of whitetails.
That's right. It might see a few mule deer coming up. Who knows?
Yeah, you know? You never know.
Buck truck is more of a metaphor, you know.
That's right.
It's
that's
like exactly shoot right. stuff.
Yeah. So, you know, the you can see that we've spent some time there. We've got a bunch of different stories. We ended up this year, we went to South Dakota and met our good friend Tony Peterson.
Yeah.
And we might have alluded to that just a second ago, but Tony is the kind of the water dude. He's hunted and killed a lot of bucks over water. So we thought, man, it'd be good thing to go with him. And we had a massive drought last summer, and so this was kind of our plan going in. But you know, we ended up not really. We didn't have a whole lot to do with water.
We scouted a lot,
I guess. It's weird, but where I ended up getting my shot was at a water hole, but to a deer that wasn't going to the water hole.
There's an interesting concept to this, and I'd like to explore it further. Mm-hmm. But do we want to talk about that hunt, or do we want to talk about some stuff before that?
Well, let's just go back to the beginning.
How okay.
About? Let's talk about 2020 a little bit. You know, we actually, like I talked about, we didn't have a ton of deer located, and we drove around a bunch like we do. We located some deer the first night. We came back to them. We kept trying to find a way to hunt them, and the wind just never was right. It was the weirdest thing, but for like 4 days straight, it was like we needed a north in the evening or something, or a south in the evening, and we had a north.
Yeah.
And then it would flip around to a south in the morning, and we needed a north.
This is where I kind of began my thought of like how I want to have a A through F plan of places to go.
Yeah.
Because we just had one spot and everything else was a guess.
Yeah.
And whenever you're in that situation and you're far from home and you feel like you could be at the house building something and making money or whatever, it makes you feel real bad because you're not really being very efficient.
Sure.
And you're not using your time well, you know? And
yeah.
We just spun our wheels for like 4 days.
Yeah, and that's we drove so much on that trip.
Oh, man.
I remember like having like about near bed sores from driving so much.
I remember our cameraman would take two naps without getting out of the truck.
Yeah.
Like go sleep, wake up, and go back to sleep again.
Did you nap?
No, not once.
Me neither.
That's crazy.
It's a cameraman thing.
That is.
anyway, we ended up only having like one good spot, like he's saying, and it was we didn't have wind, and so we thought, well, let's not go bust this up because it's the only thing we got. Mm-hmm. So we waited, and it was literally the sixth day of the trip before we could go in on a good wind. But when we went in, we felt good, right? I was
it
like,
was hype time.
We called the shot. I mean, we were like, we're fixing to go kill deer. Like, we said it on video, you know. We went in, and you were hunting ground. I was hunting a tree. And I got like halfway up the tree before a buck had already come by in that early afternoon. And then we get in the tree. It's not long, and I hear a buck coming, and I see him. And it's a 1.5-year-old 7-point But at that time, I was like, dude, this is cool.
Hard trip.
We're out in a cool place, hard trip. I'm going to shoot a buck because mm-hmm. there's a bunch of them around, and I'm going to take this meat home and enjoy it. Mm-hmm. And I ate every bit of the meat. Mm-hmm. I mean, I enjoy it. And,
yeah.
And so that's what I went up there to do. There's a bunch of people that are, you know, want to clown on that. But, dude, we're 17 hours from home. I'm taking a buck home. I spent way more than any of these residents.
Yeah,
to take this buck, you know?
And it means something to you.
It does, absolutely. Yeah, I've got a money. Euro mount of that little tiny deer.
Yeah, he's cool, man. We look
spent
at him all the time.
$75 on a Euro mount, you know. I mean, yeah. I thought it was cool. So, anyway, I shoot that deer,
and not to go on and on about that, but I think that there's a lot of people that understand where we're coming from on this,
mm-hmm.
and for the ones that don't, I'm not shooting that deer on a place that is a heavily managed place, you know. They all hold their own.
You draw
own.
An Iowa tag this year, you ain't going up there to shoot that deer.
And I'm going to let that dude walk on December 31st of the bow season, you know. But in South Dakota, on a fun trip, fling an arrow.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like you can put on country music and it just sit in the background, or you can put on rock and roll and actually turn it up and listen to it. You know what I mean?
So I don't, but
people will understand.
Okay, good.
That's what I'm saying. You don't understand. There's people that don't understand why we're shooting 1.5-year-olds. You know what I mean?
That's right.
Anyway, shot that deer. I hit him good, 30-yard shot. Had a heavy arrow, two-blade broadhead, and it, you know, went through. I actually found the arrow in China the next year on a mission trip. And it was pretty cool to find at that point. But anyway, this deer disappeared, but he looked like he was hit good. And so we get down, take all our stuff down. We're walking up out this drainage, which is the same direction he went. And I see him on the way out in the bottom of this drainage. And I was like, heck yeah, this is awesome, you know. And so we just sit up top and wait on KC. And I can see him like several hundred yards away. And your setup, talk about your setup and what happened.
My setup was, it's like one of those places that you don't really like to hunt, but it's a killing spot. I can only see like 50 or 60 yards any direction. It's kind of in a little bowl, and there was just a little plum thicket in there. And I set up in that plum thicket, and then deer would like pop up on the way to food. So I was just sitting in there kind of waiting. And
we had seen a big buck go right past that plum thicket.
Yes, and we spent a lot of time on the maps. Figuring that out too, like zooming way in on Onyx, seeing what plum thicket was where and where the trail might be and all that kind of stuff. I remember like really diving into that deep, and we like worked it all out, and sure enough it worked out. I had does come by and like, and here's the deal, the trail is not right by the bush, it's like 50 or 60 yards, and which is sad,
out in like foot grass,
yeah, or
like,
taller even, that some of that grass is pretty tall,
yeah.
And a small bachelor group comes by, and then kind of like at sunset, it's starting to get a little dark. A big buck comes out, and I'm thinking, okay, this deer is not going to give me a shot if I don't do something about it. So on October 6th, I bust out my
6th? Yeah, I guess it was. 6th,
yeah. Bust out my grunt call, and sure enough, he's like, turns his head, looks, and comes over to check it out. Starts trying to get downwind of me. But gives me an opportunity.
Deer,
he's big, dude. Big old brow tines.
Yeah.
Like, I was, like, stoked.
Mainframe A with big brow tines.
Shooting shooting a 545-grain arrow at about 258 feet per second. Just a killer machine, right? Just a two-blade broadhead on the front of that thing.
Sharp as a tack.
Sharp.
Maybe one of the sharpest ones out there.
Paper-cutting son of a gun. And shot that thing in the shoulder, got about an inch of penetration.
How far was he when you shot him?
I would say that deer was somewhere around 23 yards.
So I don't close know for enough sure. that your arrow should be.
It was close enough that I didn't range him.
Yeah.
You know, from what I remember, it's been kind of long, but I don't remember ranging. I couldn't range that deer because he was like looking at me the whole time,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so shooting.
What happened?
I'm shooting the old pass through setup, and do not get anywhere near that, because sometimes you hit deer in places that it just isn't going to kill them.
Where do you think you hit him?
In the knuckle.
In the knuckle?
In the knuckle. I think I hit him in the knuckle. You can kind of watch it, you know, on slow-mo on YouTube. It's on there, I think.
Yeah, the video's on YouTube.
It's
and
called $2 in One Night or something like
it's
that.
It's also the last scene in our season intro from, like, all our 2021 stuff, I think. It's like the intro, you know, for 30 seconds, and then the last scene is that slow motion shot.
Yeah, and you get I get about no penetration. As soon as the arrow gets there, you can just see it go, you know, just because it stops. And we don't go look for the deer that night. Look around for blood a little bit, don't find any. Wait until the next morning. I'm stressing out. Probably most I've ever stressed out about any of this kind of stuff, just because I wanted that deer bad. And go down and do a stomp out, trying to find him, grid searching, and end up bumping him. And he ran off like super healthy. So he lived to see another day with a heavy arrow setup, which from what I understand is impossible, but I saw it.
So you think you hit the knuckle or the ridge of the shoulder blade?
I don't know. Does it look like a ridge?
I thought we had assumed it hit the ridge.
I don't know.
But
it's hard to say. He wheels out.
Yeah. We're actually kind of watching this right now. And anyway, it's not super important, but it hits the deer in what looks to be a pretty good spot, and then all of a sudden the arrow is like flinging around. Like,
yeah. 2 feet. I thought I smoked him. You know. I'm self-filming, and it's all happening in real time.
Yeah.
And he's broadside, 20 yards. I think I smoke him. Shooting a capable setup and
just quality arrow, quality broadhead that's super sharp, two blade, heavy, and it doesn't kill him. So we're making a point here. So
yeah, if you can't tell,
keep following, right? Yeah. So that happened. We had to go home. We decided immediately we're going to go back, and then we ended up finding a different region to go to, and thought, oh, let's go try this.
O'Reilly Auto Parts are in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. If you're confused about what part you need, like what wipers are going to be the best, what replacement headlights are going to be the best, go into O'Reilly and talk to the people that work there, because they're great and they're super friendly, and they'll get you squared away where you walk out knowing you got the right thing. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. Do you need your windshield wipers replaced? You need a brake light fixed? You need some quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/meateater. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/meateater. There's nothing like snook hook sets at dawn or catching a tarpon in the moonlight. Find your next fishing trip made easy on FishingBooker.com and experience the magic of the Sunshine State or any other destination on your fishing bucket list. Book a blue water adventure in search of sailfish or go snapper fishing with the kids. With over 6,000 captains and trips to choose from, planning your next one just got a whole lot easier. Download the Fishing Booker app on the Google Play or App Store, or visit them online at fishingbooker.com to book your trip today. You ever get that feeling you're stuck inside staring at screens and a primal urge kicks in? You crave wide open spaces, fresh air, the chance to connect with the land? Well, maybe it's time to find your own piece of the wild, but searching for property can be a maze. That's where land.com comes in. They got millions of listings across the country, from mountain ranches to hidden fishing holes. Their search tools are like a seasoned guide helping you narrow down what you want. Land.com isn't just about buying and selling. It's about finding a place to hunt, fish, explore, or simply sit by a campfire and listen to the crickets. So head over to land.com today to turn one day into today. Because trust me, there's nothing quite like the feeling of standing on your own piece of earth.
It was a very wet year that year in 2021.
In fact, it was wet while we were there.
Yeah, it was very wet. We rained a bunch on us. We camped and stuff like that. So we ended up killing three deer on that trip, long story short. Mm-hmm. October 4th, which is Eric Gentry's birthday, I killed a nice 10-point that was just so fat, right?
That's where we started talking about pillow deer.
Yeah, that's right. And he was just munching willows in this thicket going back to bedding.
Was he a willow pillow?
He was a willow pillow. And he was going back to bedding in the morning and came right through. It was one of my, you know, sometimes, most of the time you have these like ideas and you go in and your setup doesn't work, right? Mm-hmm. This was one of those times when I was like, dadgummit, I nailed this as good as I've ever nailed it.
You sure enough did.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And this was Eric's first deer to video being shot. And it's a little out of focus.
You can tell but, that it's his first one, but he did a good job.
We freaked out in the tree and had a good time. It was his birthday. We went and celebrated and bought him every hostess treat we could find at the convenience store.
I think we explained it. Never mind. I can't harp on him that hard, man. I'm sorry. No, I can. You know why? Because we love Eric, and he's like the best.
Yeah.
Now, okay. But yeah. That day we had to explain to him that deer actually weren't fuzzy because he sees them fuzzy, but they're actually very very crisp to most of us.
They have fine hairs, don't right. they? Yeah. So you know, and just to take another chance to take and throw this point together. I actually shot a big broadhead that is mechanical, expandable, flapper-like.
Oh, no.
Whatever you might
call
it.
You said the word.
And that deer ran like 20 yards and died. Mm-hmm. He died inside a bow range for mm-hmm. most fellas, right?
Yeah. Where'd you hit that deer?
I hit him a little bit back and a little bit high, but double lung.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't hit him in the shoulder.
Yeah. So we're building a point
but
there,
I mean,
too,
I mean,
by the way.
I double lunged him, but it's like, it was probably 5 inches from the crease. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's a good shot, but yeah, so it didn't hit the shoulder, right? Then Hunter shoots a deer straight, like if you could just put a crosshair from top to bottom and left to right in the middle, that's where he shot the deer. It's the most middle part of the body I've ever seen, maybe. Mm-hmm. With expandable.
And two blade expandable.
Two-blade expandable. Killed it.
Well.
It took a while. But he killed it.
He did.
He didn't hit any lung either.
Yeah. He did kill it.
So.
But it was sketchy.
It was sketchy. But he killed it. Mm. Because he put a big old broadhead through the liver.
I think the point here, what we're getting at, though, is that was not where you want to hit one.
No.
And any broadhead would have killed a deer there. But who knows where you find it.
Mm-hmm.
So. We continue on.
I filmed him kill that. It was
it's crispy.
It's pretty crispy. It's the most crispy one of the three kills from that year for sure. Or from that trip. And then KC finds a way to get it done last minute, right?
It was kind of wild. I kind of got over COVID almost and went hunting.
Ovid.
Yeah. And you and Hunter actually had been in this place a day or two before. And he shot a deer that morning, so it cleared it up for me to go in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw one of the bucks that y'all saw the night before.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of the most insane encounters of my deer hunting. And I kind of almost forget about that because I've gotten to do a good amount of hunting and had a lot of fun. But that deer came to like 5 yards and then circled me and smelled me and then ran out. And got curious again and then walked back in at like 37 and I smoked him and hit him exactly where you want to hit a deer in the crease. And shot an expandable with that one as well.
Where'd you shoot him? Where'd you hit him after you gutted him?
I center punched the heart. There was, how wide are those things? 2 1/4 or something like that?
Yeah, I think something like that.
And there was meat on all sides. Like there was no nickage to the heart. It was like through the middle of it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which, by the way, if we want to deep dive into some of the anatomical stuff, I would rather hit a deer in the lungs than the
Me
heart.
Me too. Me too.
It's cool when you hit them in the heart.
Yeah.
But they die a lot faster in the lungs.
Yeah. That video is on the Element channel. It's called, if you search Perfect Shot, you'll probably find it. I searched Element South Dakota and found it pretty quick. But it's a cool video. And you killed that deer by hitting him behind the shoulder. in the heart. Mm-hmm. So that's what happened in 21. And then we end up going back in 22 and meeting our buddy, Tony Peterson. It's a fully different, completely different situation. Absolute drought from absolute, like, rainforest. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Weird, man.
Yeah.
Like, anywhere, anything we knew about the year before went away.
Yeah. It's because and that was proof in the first couple of days. We spent the first couple of days and we were looking at all bunch of stuff that we had seen the year before that was good.
Mm-hmm.
And none of it was good. Mm-hmm. We had to completely relocate and find different stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It was not fun to do.
No, man. And that's the thing, is South Dakota for us has always been like, this is just so much fun. And it was a ton of work this year.
Yeah, it was. I ended up, the first spot that I relocated to was good.
Mm-hmm.
And I found a big buck, and there was actually, I would call it a buck hole because there was more than one big buck in there. But I only found one the first evening and had a hypothesis that the deer went to water because he's going away from food, and there were two deer that were coming towards food that evening, the opposite direction. And so I just thought, well, he's probably going to water. And I could look at the map and figure that there was water there. I didn't know for sure in the kind of the bottom of the draw. So Eric and I go the next morning and look at this place from a different angle, and we see a buck and we bet him. And I'm like, I'm about to kill this dude. I'm feeling good about this. We sit there and we dial everything, dude. I'm looking through spotting scopes, and I'm just like, okay, there's that tree. I'm pretty sure that's where that buck went the night before. So that's where the water would probably be if there's a hole in there and there's some water in there. And here's where the buck is. I got it all mapped up. I'm taking screenshots or pictures through the spot and scope and stuff. And we leave out, go get lunch, get back in there pretty early. I think a big key point to make is that this was a very difficult entry. It was super, super thick to get in there at first. And it doesn't really look like it too much on the video because it's so thick that we're not even able to video hardly in there. We're just like squeezing through stuff, right? So,
and also if you drew out everything that actually took a long time on a video, then it would be kind of boring.
4 hours.
Yeah.
But I mean, people would watch it, but maybe not everybody.
Yeah.
So anyway, we get in there. I get set up, and I'm going in to get set up. We dip down into the bottom. It's hot. And I find the tree that I had marked, and it is like a bad leaning willow. And willows just do that a lot of times. They just lean over real bad. But it's right. I mean, it's the only tree I can make work and get the shots that I need to, because I need to get shots up to the top of this creek where like the flat is, mm-hmm. and also down to the bottom because there's a major trail coming into this water source. And you can see it if you watch the video here in a little bit after you listen to this podcast. There's a crazy trail, and I'm sure there was like a beaver in there or something too, but it was a good trail coming down the creek to this like deep hole in the creek where there was the only place holding water. And I set up right next to it. It would have been an 8-yard shot to the other side of the water hole probably. I mean, it was close. And then it's like 10 yards to a trail that like comes down the edge of this creek. And then there's another trail out there. It's probably like 25 or something maybe. Well, we're sitting there. It was really loud getting up in this willow too, because they had this weird bark that makes a lot of noise putting sticks on it and stuff. I get up in there and I'm basically having to like stand on my left foot and kind of push against my left foot the whole time to keep myself in shooting position. I could relax, but I wouldn't be in shooting position if I did that. And I'm afraid to not relax and then try to get into shooting position because the bark creaks when I do that. So I'm just in a constant state of just stay still. It's getting, you know, the wind is starting to get lighter and stuff. This doe comes out. I won't make the story forever, but this doe comes out, walks down the trail right next to, you know, right on top of the creek, basically, and doesn't get water. She comes right past, is like 10 yards. There's willows everywhere, little bitty ones. And she gets, our wind is kind of blowing at like, say like a 45. The closest place that she is on the trail when she's coming past us, 45 degrees past that, if I'm looking, or maybe a little less, is where she would pick up our wind, and she did, and picks up our wind. I'm thinking at that point, what I thought is if a deer came by us first and picks up our wind there, it's just going to run on and go all the way up towards ag, right? Mm-hmm. Well, she gets our wind, gets weird, and runs right back across our face and into, you know, where that buck is pretty much. And I'm like, man, that probably messed the whole thing up. And it wasn't 10 minutes, I don't think, later. And I'm just keeping my eyes back looking, you know, and I see a horn flash through the willows back in there. And I'm like, hey, there's a buck coming. Get ready. So Eric kind of gets the camera ready, finally finds a buck, gets on him. And he's coming. He's close already. Like, he's probably like 40, 50 yards when he gets the footage on him. And he's just on a straight walk. And he walks down. And it's so thick that he's like having to move his antlers through the brush and stuff, right? And he gets here. I get drawn when he's like at 30 walking towards me. And then he kind of pans out and goes parallel or perpendicular to me. And he gets broadside. And he's so close and it's so quiet that I don't feel like I can grunt stop him. And so I'm like, well, it's like 10, 12 yards. You know, it's nothing. And I'm gonna shoot him. And so I'm following him, and he's so close that the sight picture of my sight, his shoulder fully fills pretty much. Like there, and so I lose track through the willows of his shoulder. And when I pull the trigger, I feel like this is done deal. And it hits him, and I'm shocked where it hits him, because it's not where I thought I was aiming. And it hits him on the point of the shoulder, you know. So it looks like it would have been heart if it was back. You know, probably 4 or 5 inches, maybe 6 inches, whatever. But it hits him on the point of the shoulder, and same thing as what KC's buck is on that video, if you've watched it. Arrow's hanging out 2 foot, you know, when he takes off. And I knew immediately. I was like, there ain't no chance, dude. I mean, I barely have a chance that this deer is getting dead. So long story short, I'm just going to go ahead and spoil it for you. We don't end up finding a dead deer. So frustrating experience. We show it on video because we could show all the successes and make a bunch of dudes that have that happen to them feel like they're the only ones that happens to, because I got buddies that feel like that. So we find it important to show some of our mistakes for sure.
Well,
we're not perfect.
And you did the amicable thing, right?
I suppose.
And didn't continue to hunt deer. You decided that after that you had done your damage.
I like shooting a shotgun, so it wasn't too terrible to go hunt dove and stuff like that and grouse.
So tell me about your arrow setup, Tyler.
My arrow setup is the same thing I shot in Nebraska, which killed a deer real quick and real dead.
Mm-hmm. Where'd you hit that deer?
That deer, right behind the shoulder, right where you're supposed to, you know, double lunged. If you haven't watched that buck truck episode, the first one in Nebraska, that is a big old expandable and a 500 grain arrow. Mm-hmm. So plenty
which
heavy.
Which is fairly heavy to an average archer's standards. Now, to me, that's lighter than what I shoot, but anything like that is probably
but you
what
shot you shot a 545 grain arrow with a two blade.
Yeah,
and it didn't
absolutely
penetrate. Right.
The point of this is that shoot what you're comfortable with. Right.
Yeah.
I have gotten to where I really do like a big expandable, especially one that's well built. You can see in that video that one breaks.
Yep. Dude,
I've had fixed blades break.
That's exactly right.
And you know what else, man? The whole point is if you hit a deer where you're supposed to, it's going to die.
That's right.
And the expandable does help you sometimes when you marginally hit a deer. I have paper cut deer with little fixed blades through the liver and not found them because it just takes forever. My Kansas 2020 buck is an example. I found the deer. But
they just don't bleed very much. They don't have a big hole.
No, they don't. You hit a deer in the liver with an expandable, you're going to find him in an hour.
Yeah.
I mean, it's as deadly as anything else. Now, I'm not advocating the liver shot, but what I am saying is when you do it, you can feel good about it.
Dude.
And
Well, it's, and the expandable, for me, helps me make better shots because we've talked about it before, but my thumb situation, I have torque. Not to mention, you can see in the GoPro footage of me shooting. If you go to our Instagram, you can see this. The GoPro footage of me shooting. When I shoot, I almost look like I'm falling. Mm-hmm. And that's me holding myself to the tree the right way, right? Mm-hmm. And certainly torquing the bow. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, and at 10 yards, not going to do anything different probably. But at 30, it makes a difference, you know?
For sure. So there's... There's
give
no,
and take with all of it.
Yeah,
man.
Exactly right, man. There's no like, if you want to make archery a thing that there's no like variability of lethality, then you just start rifle hunting at that point.
Sure, sure,
you know,
absolutely.
Like it's the whole point. It's why there's more tags for archery. This and the other. Does it make you feel good to do that to that deer?
Absolutely not.
Exactly.
I was talking about it this morning. I literally had like an anxiety, not anxiety, a adrenaline like rush when the deer's coming in, because I'm like, I'm fixing to kill a big old 8-point. Just made the plan like I was supposed to, you know. It's done deal. He's coming right to me, close. And then I go from that to like, I'm almost 100% sure that deer is not going to die. And you know what I'm talking about if you've been there, but it made me feel, legitimately made me feel like I was going to throw up and nauseous. And I like lean on the tree and I'm just like, I can't believe it, dude. It did not make me feel good for the purposes of trying to, you know, kill a deer, and for the purposes of trying to do it for video, and for the purposes of, you know, wounding what I think is the coolest animal on the planet, probably, you know? And so it just, it doesn't feel good all around, man.
Since then, have you adjusted your setup?
I've shot some different setups, but not really at animals.
Not for deer. You shot a light arrow thing to, for like.
I was going
to
do it for turkey.
Yeah, for turkey. And we ended up not archery hunting for turkey.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I still have the same setup. And I that was early in the season. I still kept shooting the same setup.
Yeah. How many more deer did you kill?
I killed a buck
and a doe,
and then another buck in the new year.
Sure enough.
Yep.
Yep.
And so, a Neil guy.
Yeah.
A Neil guy.
Which, by the way, Joe Rogan says you can't kill with a bow. So,
yeah.
You know, it's a thing, right?
With a mechanical. The biggest one I could find.
That's right. So, all that to say, it's still very lethal. And you're going to have some give and take. And you're a good shot. And
sometimes
you messed it up.
I did, dude. I did.
And that's the way it goes, man.
Yep, it is. And I would absolutely, dude, if somebody's out there shooting iron wheels, which is what everybody tends to think, you know, is the best or whatever, then I do it.
Yeah, they're made good.
They kill things, dude.
Dude, if Bill made a mechanical, I'd shoot the thing for sure.
Who's the guy that? Who's the guy that shot? Shot like bears with blowgun needles and killed them.
Tim Wells.
Yeah,
yeah.
Dude, if you hit them in the right spot, they die.
That's right. That's what it's all about.
It is
hitting the right spot.
Yeah. So anyway, you had a pretty good long hunt again and got to learn a lot.
I tend to have long hunts.
And
I'm the second guy to shoot a deer almost exclusively.
No, you're not. No,
I don't mind
not.
That. I am. Think about it.
I can't spoil stuff right now. So there's some trips.
So yes, from there on you became my scouting buddy. Tyler would drop me off and go look at stuff and I would go hunting. And not a lot of seeing. And you did see some deer. Food was the ticket. Corn was the ticket.
Yeah.
As weird as that was.
This is another... Can I make a point real quick?
Yeah. I got indigestion. I'd love for you to talk more.
Bed to food maybe works better in a drought situation, I feel like.
Because they have to travel further? They can't browse around?
More that there's not just a ton of food on the landscape. And they need some food. And they're going to go there earlier and...
Possibly stay later.
Possibly stay later and possibly, possibly stay right later, right? As we find out. Yeah.
So, y'all going to get a little bit of insight into some of the stuff that does make the video, but we found some deer on a morning that were eating in a cornfield still. I stalked in and never got a good shot at one of those bucks. I tried and it was a stupid thing. But, and then on the way out from that big old loop, ended up bumping some deer that were coming back to bed, and I take a shot at one of those deer, and it's a far shot. I miss a shot over him, but then figure out, like, hey, this is the spot to be because these deer are sticking pretty close to the food, actually, but there's good cover here. And went back in the next morning and set up in a tree and just did the thing, like the textbook deer hunting thing to do. You know, go back to a bedding area.
It was cold that morning, too.
It was. There was a good cold front, good brisk wind. Well, the wind actually helped a lot with getting the shot off because I was in a pretty exposed tree. But it's so windy, I mean, I could have done a jumping jack.
I love it, too.
If the deer are moving and it's windy, it's the best. A lot of times, I think back to your Illinois buck, about
crispy.
A windy day. Yeah. It's cool whenever you get that wind.
Oh, you're talking about 2020 Illinois buck.
Yeah. Windy day.
Yeah.
Still got seen. But
I was probably going to get seen either way.
But, yeah, but yeah. Deer died, so it worked. Had a really nice, what I call a representative of the species, a representative of the area. So not a booner. In the video, I call him a medium buck.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a giant, but he's not a tiny. He's not doe-necked. He just looks really, really good, really pretty. And this deer.
You know what else he is? Really tasty.
I can't give it away.
Sorry. Well, bucks are from
bucks
that area.
Yeah,
right?
That's right. So this deer comes down the hill from food and stops about every two steps and eats leaves off the plum bushes the whole way down. And I get to watch this deer for like 10 minutes probably. And, you know, like it's a good buildup. You know, like, oh, he's getting closer. He's getting closer. And I do the thing where I pick up my bow and I go to draw. And then he stops walking. So I bring it down. Mm-hmm. I do it like three different times. And finally, the deer comes out into a good broad opening and stops on his own. And I draw my bow. And that's whenever you get on YouTube and go watch Buck Truck.
How far was he when you drew?
I think he's like 40, 41. And he took a couple steps in.
So if you were saying the closest he ever got before you shot, probably 35?
37.
37.
37 yards is what I had my pin set on 38. I only know this because we just watched the video not long ago. But I had a pin set on 38, and he got to 37. I ranged a gap that
pretty far shot for a lot of guys.
Yeah, for sure. I mean
for you, it's not too big a deal because you're a good shot, man.
Well, I practice a lot, and it's something I really care about. And you know what? If you really care about it and you're still not a good shot, that doesn't mean that you don't care.
That's right.
But,
that's right.
Thanks, man. I appreciate the compliment. I like shooting bows. It's a lot of fun. And
me too.
Yep. So, anyways, go check out Buck Truck if you hadn't, guys. It's pretty cool. This is a really fun episode. It gets to really, man, Eric and Michael and Greg were getting it at this point in time. Mm-hmm. As far as, like, documenting stuff, the footage of the deer that I happened to encounter there is good.
Here's the
footage
deals.
Of
they,
your deer.
Yeah. They did a great job. And
Michael's footage of Tony is great.
Yeah, that's right. They get better and better as the buck truck goes on.
Absolutely.
You know, and Tony, to mention, Tony had a very close call with a really nice buck. Mm-hmm. But he didn't get a shot on this trip. He's a heck of a hunter, and I'm glad to know him and call him a friend. But yes, go subscribe to the Meat Eater YouTube channel, and you can see all the buck trucks as they come out. Also, subscribe to this podcast while you're here.
Hey, how about that? Yeah.
And make sure that you're getting some of these. Another thing, we mentioned that there were several guys on this trip, right? Mm-hmm. Not all of them were cameramen. There were some guys filming that were doing element stuff. And the one HTH, Hunter Dickens, who has been on the channel quite a bit over the last few years, killing some stuff. And we talked about killing in 2021 with the liver, straight up and down, straight left and right shot. He shot a really big South Dakota buck.
Absolutely.
On public land, and it is on our YouTube channel, the Element YouTube channel.
That deer probably books, don't you think?
I would say, I mean, he's at least a 180, you know. So
I mean, the other book.
Okay. Yeah, he might, man, for sure. He's a great, great buck.
Yeah,
beautiful
deer.
And the footage is primo. Speaking of camera guys getting good, Eric nailed it. And there, this buck comes out, and he has these cattail fluffies all over his back, and the sun's like shining through him. It is so cool,
it's
dude.
It's cool, man. It's awesome.
It is so cool.
It's a cool place to go. Really hard, you know, there's a lot of deer across the country. One of the things we do with Buck Truck is, and this is how we've always been, man. We just want to inspire people to get out and hunt, try hard, and you'll learn a lot and have a lot of fun. So don't feel like you got to travel all around the country to go hunt deer. You know, there's probably something close to the house or closer to the house or whatever you can go explore and find some pretty wild country. There's about near wild everywhere you go if you look for it. So, go and check that stuff out. More buck truck coming. They usually always come out on Tuesday at high noon if you're in the central time zone.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do the math the other direction if you happen to be outside of that. And we'd really appreciate it if y'all watch, of course. And then comments are always helpful, too. We like to see, you know, that you enjoy stuff. We like feedback, commentary, as long as you keep it clean and nice, mm-hmm. you know, which that's one of the reasons that we say that's because we put ourselves out there a lot. You know, it's hard for Tyler to show that he just, you know, hit a deer bad. But not that, like, you wanted to hide it. It's not what I mean when I say hard, but, you know, it's not something that you enjoy, right? I mean, it's not
– people know. People have been hiding that stuff for a long time.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it's not – it's a new cultural phenomenon that people would show, like, that they don't kill deer, you know, and they made a bad shot.
Yeah.
So
– but anyways.
Remember, this is your element.
Living it.
You ever get that feeling, the walls closing in, the concrete jungle suffocating you? You crave some wide open spaces, the chance to connect with nature, maybe in a spot all your own. Well, head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forests, mountains, streams, you name it. Search by acreage. You can search by location. You can search by the kind of hunting and fishing you're dreaming of. Land.com. It is where the adventure begins. Hey everybody, listen up. I got mega huge news. Meat Eater Live is heading back out on the road. That's right. Join me and the crew. Clay Newcomb, Cal, Yanni, Spencer's going to be there. Phil the Engineer is going to be there. Meat Eater Live, headed back out. Now, when you get every ticket, okay, every ticket you buy, you get a signed copy of our new Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook. This tour is celebrating the release of the book. Buy a ticket, get a signed copy, Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook, wild game recipes for the grill, smoker, camp stove, and campfire, which I'll point out is a $38 value. Here's where we're going to go. April 23rd, the Mesa Arts Center in Mesa, Arizona. April 24th, the Balboa Theater in San Diego. April 25th, the Grove in Anaheim, California. April 27th, the Crest Theater in Sacramento. April 29, the Union in Salt Lake City. April 30, the Egyptian in Boise. May 1, the Wilma Theater in Missoula. May 2, the Bing Crosby Theater in Spokane, Washington. May 4, Revolution Hall in Portland, Oregon. And May 5, the last day of the tour, Pantages Theater in Tacoma, Washington. For tickets and more information, visit the events page at the Meat Eater.com. Hope to see you at the show.